Hot, short days, long, sweaty nights. Changing of the equinox.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, Browns Nation, we want you to be geared up in everything new and hot and stylish, orange and brown-wise, when you come out here to Berea for the beginning of Browns training camp. So make sure you check out the Browns Nike Summer Collection. It's just arrived. You can stop in at the Team Shop, downtown Cleveland. That's at First Energy Stadium, of course. They're open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Great to have all of you along today. It has been a very energy-filled first hour. We're going to keep it that way. Michael Regai in for Vic Carucci. Nathan Zagura is here as at Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on. And as we roll on, in studio right now with us, as he is courtesy of our friends at Ohio Business Machines. You check him out, Browns staff writer, clevelandbrowns.com. We say hello to Kevin Jones. KJ, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Michael, Nathan, great to be with you. I got a quick little 4th of July story. So I'm in New York City.
At a wedding?
No, that was
that was a week before. That was before that. Okay.
I did not get clearance from one of my bosses, Kevin Griffin. I wanted to post several pictures of me consuming alcohol onto Twitter, but didn't get the clearance there. That was a funny segment.
He is a taskmaster, isn't he?
Back to New York City. I'm there for the 4th of July. I highly recommend doing that. You know, a lot of people get out of town in New York City for the 4th of July. I recommend going. The streets are empty. Me and my buddy rented bikes all day. You can ride everywhere. It's very interesting. The gist of this story is I'm in the financial district, which is a really random part of town to be at 4th of July Friday night. Who do I run into? Browns defensive end Desmond Bryant.
It's a big fella.
What are the chances? And then, unfortunately, I think I need to get to know Desmond a little bit more because he did not recognize me.
Mm. Well, you had to introduce yourself to him?
It was one of those things. You kind of had to be there. But the odds of running into a Browns player on 4th of July in the middle of New York City were that was quite interesting.
Well, when you explained to him that, hey, I'm part of the Browns organization, work for the mom, Kevin Jones, so what was his reaction?
Actually, I brought up Harvard. He did.
Oh, okay.
I did an interview about Harvard with him, and he sort of recalled it. But Desmond, if you're listening, when you come back, lunch on me in the cafeteria. We're gonna be pals.
There you go. Kevin, you wrote a great article about Paul Kruger on ClevelandBrowns.com, how he's basically cheated death twice. First of all, how did that story come about? When did you first learn of this? And kind of talk us through your conversations with Paul Kruger that led to that unbelievable story.
The great guys in our PR department, Dan Murphy and Rob McBurnett, kind of pushed me in that direction and said, hey, he's got an incredible story. Paul really, like you said, Nathan, has cheated death twice. And I sat down with Paul in our field house, and doing the interview on a football field setting like that really – it got the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. If you go to the website and read the story, the gist of it is when he was 13, Paul Kruger was in a Jeep with his uncle. His uncle was a young guy too, 16, 17 years old. The Jeep flips over. There's five passengers in the car, all Kruger's brothers and sisters. The Jeep is flipping so much, it throws Kruger 300 yards. I mean, just an unbelievable amount so far. The Jeep keeps flipping and flipping and lands on Kruger's abdomen. The craziest part about it is he never lost consciousness. He's awake and aware of everything going on. He thought he was paralyzed at first. Miraculously, the Jeep was still able to start up. They rushed him to the hospital. His kidney was already damaged beyond repair. They took out all of his intestines. He's on life support for 2 days. They're pretty much saying there's a 50-50 chance Paul Kruger is not going to make it. He was a big 13-year-old kid. He lost 40 pounds in the hospital, eventually started recovering. It changed his life at the time, being a 13-year-old kid, but he still wanted to play football. He put back on a bunch of weight. It was crazy. If you go to the website again, there's a part two to the story. He's at Utah. He's a senior giving a tour to his younger brother. Some hooting and hollering goes on for some guys outside of a party in a car. They end up being gang members. Paul Kruger's trying to play peacemaker, gets stabbed. nicked artery. He has a collapsed lung. Here we go again. His life is flashing before his eyes. The whole Utah team, everyone is in the hospital. It's just a crazy scene. And he's able to persevere through all of this. I really highly recommend you read all my pieces, but this one really is special.
Yeah, Kevin Jones joining us. He's courtesy of our friends in studio at Ohio Business Machines. Kevin, when you mentioned perseverance, has Paul shared this? Did you get the sense with a lot of his teammates? Do a lot of the guys that he, you know, sweats every day with and plays in this violent game in the National Football League, do a lot of his teammates understand this and know this about him from his youth?
Not at all. I really don't think that he has opened up about this. Not that he's trying to hide it at all, but
yeah.
What he told me is he changed the way he lives his life because of this, and he doesn't want to force it down people's throat. Oh, I'm an angel. I have a guardian watching after me. I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
He just lives his life like he... like it could be his last day every day. He wants his friendships to be off the charts. He wants every experience to really soak in. He had a moment, a quote in the story. Sometimes when he runs out of the tunnel, he notices two players butting helmets. He'll look around in the stands and see people wearing his jersey. Little moments like that to Paul Kruger, those are what life is about for him. And he said winning a Super Bowl wasn't as important to him as starting his foundation, Kruger Care. He takes kids who are paralyzed, kids who have unlucky accidents just like he had, and he helps them get through it. He'll visit them a lot, keep them in high spirits, donate money, whatever he can. So Paul Kruger, his life changed by not passing away, and he really doesn't talk about it much, which is I don't know if I would talk about it a lot either myself, but mm-hmm. It's such an interesting, crazy story that's unbelievable.
It certainly is. And do you get a sense from Paul Kruger knowing that he overcame this not once but twice, that, you know, the task of overcoming what was largely considered to be a disappointing 2013 season is not daunting to him in any way, shape, or form in light of this, that really nothing in football can seem daunting to him?
Oh, of course. He's so determined to do whatever he wants. I mean, when he got stabbed, he was – doctor said, you can probably play football again. We don't know if you're going to be that all Mountain West defensive end that you were. Your NFL days, they might be numbered. We have no idea how your body's going to respond to this. And Paul Kruger laughed. He said, I'm going to lead my team. I'm going to get 10 sacks. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Paul Kruger likes being challenged. And I think, obviously, he was disappointed in his season last year, but, and he's not going to compare this to almost dying, but he really will respond. I think a bad season from him really will kind of change his mindset. You know, he's back in this place where people are counting me out. People don't think I can do this. I'm going to show the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to show the AFC North. I'm going to show the NFL. Hey, listen, I am going to be Paul Kruger that was with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to be a leader in this defense. He told me too, not as a part of this story, but with Mike Pettine's defense, he'll be attacking the quarterback a lot more. He likes his role. He's more comfortable this season. Paul Kruger, I say 8 sacks. I say 8 sacks if I had to put a number on it right now, and that would be huge in this defense.
Now, that double up what he gave this defense last year. And so the sense is that you have, and that's where I was going to go next with questioning, is that Kruger seems to be in a better place as to what he can provide, not only, as you said, from a playing standpoint, but, you know, I get the sense, too, Kevin, a brief conversation is all I had with Paul during that, but I get the sense that he wants to be a voice. He wants to have younger players gravitate to him, and he wants to have that part of his role in this organization be a guy who's a leader and a guy who you could come and talk to and who's going to have an opinion on the way this thing shapes up.
The way I describe Paul Kruger as a leader, he's not really going to seek you out, but if you come to him, there are going to be deep conversations. He's not one to really lure people in and rah, 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 listen to me. But if a guy gets comfortable with Paul Kruger, you know, like a backup like Justin Staples, who is going to be filling in in a Quentin Groves type role as a backup outside linebacker, or anyone really on defense, if they seek out Paul, he will give them wisdom. he wants to be a leader. Of course, I think Dante Whitner is really that rah-rah, loud kind of guy that's going to get people going. But that's the thing about Paul Kruger. He's wise. He's been through a lot. He's been through a struggling season. He's bounced back. He's been through two near-death experiences, and he's turned it into all of this. He's inspirational, honestly. Giving that interview, I had hair standing up on the back of my neck. It was something else. So hopefully some of our guys maybe went on the website and read it for themselves. I don't think it's a story he's standing up on a chair in the locker room and telling people about them.
Mm-hmm. Video attached to it as well, right?
There's a video piece. Right,
our
now.
Great guys, Drew Boatner.
Drew Boatner did a terrific job with it.
Great
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other article, KJ, you wrote there, you kind of give a quick note, snapshot on all people on the 90-man roster. What kind of, as you went through that exercise, did anything kind of jump out at you about a specific player or kind of the construction of this roster as it is right now?
Couple quick notes. 17 defensive backs on the Cleveland Browns roster right now. And there's a lot of guys like Royce Adams, TJ Heath, a lot of guys who are very similar skill sets and really need training camp to stand out. I don't know how many defensive backs the Browns are going to carry. You think at least 8? I don't know the number there. That's going to be interesting. Talked to John Greco on the phone a couple weeks back. This guy is in some of the best shape of his life. Everyone's talking about Joel Bitonio, Alex Mack, and Joe Thomas, of course, but John Greco is going to be a solid part of this line, especially pounding the ball up the middle. He's a name that's kind of forgotten about, so remember him. And looking at the roster as a whole, all 90 players, the defensive line on this team, guys, is as deep as almost anyone in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Ruben's stats last year, 80 tackles, Phil Taylor, my guy, New York City, Dez Bryant, John Hughes. The depth there really is going to propel this team to be at least a top 10 defense, in my opinion.
It's got to be a focal point, and we know that, and that's why it's been accumulated as such. Kevin, outstanding stuff as always. Really appreciate good having you in studio with us, and keep those terrific pieces coming on at ClevelandBrowns.com too.
Two quick cents on LeBron, since that's been the huge focal
point.
Oh, yeah,
okay. You've got scoop for us?
I don't have any scoop, but if I'm the Cavs GM, I do trade Wiggins now for Kevin Love and kind of handcuff LeBron because I don't think he's made a decision. I think you make the decision for him. You say, we have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. Where else are you going to go? That's my two cents.
Okay. Well documented, duly noted. I think it might take a little bit more than that. I think right now Minnesota's still in the driver's seat. But
I think they would prefer Wiggins because they know that Kevin Love's not going to re-sign there.
Yeah, no, Wiggins, but I think there would have to be some more sweeteners with that than just Wiggins.
True.
Yeah. So, but listen, we'll see how it plays out. The wheels are a-turning. We know that. No question about it. Kevin, great to see you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, KJ.
Kevin
All right.
Jones.
There
Check
it is.
Him out.
Yes.
Staff writer, ClevelandBrowns.com.
Indeed. Just another LeBron update, and we can certainly continue to talk about LeBron when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And why not? It is the biggest story in sports right now. There are some thoughts right now. The trade scenarios have been outlined with the Minnesota Timberwolves for Kevin Love, according to people like Sam Amick from the USA Today, their NBA insider, that do not include Andrew Wiggins. Again, that do not include Andrew Wiggins. So there is a possibility, it sounds like, to get Kevin Love while keeping Andrew Wiggins, which means probably they'd have to part with maybe Andy, Waiters, maybe Tristan, maybe Bennett, maybe all four of them, maybe three of them, something along those lines.
I think
to do that, and probably it would involve, because I believe the Cavs have three number ones next year, potentially.
They do, yeah.
It probably would involve
Miami's.
Some of that as well, I would imagine.
Nathan, real quick, the one thing that I don't believe that Rich Paul, the agent for LeBron James, he's also Tristan Thompson's agent. Too.
Right.
I don't believe that Tristan's going to be in any deal because they're going to want the two of them to play together. I think it's a part of this.
I think that is very true as well.
I find it hard to believe that they deal Thompson, too, with James coming in.
We certainly will we'll certainly find out, but that is an interesting wrinkle and a very good point, Reg, there about Tristan Thompson and his connections, as he is also represented by Rich Paul, who represents LeBron. And again, they are meeting with Pat Riley, and Pat Riley alone at 6 p.m. Eastern today, 3 p.m. Pacific in Las Vegas. All right, we'll be back with more here on ESPN 850 WKNR.